It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 19, Wildcard. This is Writing Excuses.
Why are you so special?
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Erin.
I'm Howard.
And we are joined today by our special guest, Andrew Buckley. Andrew and I met at a conference in the before times where we paneled together. And I was really impressed with how intelligently he was approaching his career. He's got a background in marketing, and I'm going to invite Andrew to introduce himself and tell you a little bit about that and his own writing.
Thank you, folks. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this. I am a speculative fiction author, I think is my primary. And then I have a whole bunch of other stuff that I do around that. So I primarily write, paranormal fantasy for middle grade and young adults these days, but I also have a spy thriller adult novel coming out this year. And I write horror as well. I write fairy tale fantasy. I always consider myself an author of rather silly fiction because it's all pretty silly stuff. But considering my influences are, you know, Douglas Adams and Terry Pratchett and Monty Python and those kinds of things, it sort of makes sense, I think. I also do a fair amount of speaking about writing. I probably spend more time talking about writing than actually writing these days. But it pays better, so that's why I enjoy doing it. So I travel around to different conferences and I talk about writing and publishing and storytelling. And I also have a background in marketing, which is what I did for the better part of 15 years. And so I kind of roll that into a few different things. And I'm starting to speak at marketing and business conferences this year about how to incorporate story and how it can be used to break down barriers, how it can be used for communication, and how it can be used to tell an effective brand story. And I think that's it.
This is, you know, just one or two things that you do, not a whole lot.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I write stuff.
No.
Mary Robinette was using the sarcasm.
Was he?
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't do much. You don't do much at all.
No. I
realized that the modern authorial career path looks a lot like a... non-symmetrical, multifaceted solid, where every face of it is a side hustle.
Yeah.
It's just a bucket of side hustles, and you tumble the die, and it's not random because the sides are, you know, we're not talking about a symmetric shape. But yeah, what comes up on that face is what's got to be done today.
Yeah, we've talked before on the podcast about diversifying your income stream if you're planning on trying to do the full-time, quote-unquote, writer thing. But Andrew has this very, very specific background that, so we're going to kind of be talking a little bit about what it means to be building a career as an author in today's day and age, how conferences play into that, kind of the whole sort of gamut of what it means to be an author. And one of them is that brand story that Andrew mentioned, you know, the why you so special? Like, why is it important to be able to talk about yourself?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think these days it's such a difference from not only the before times when, you know, you and I met, Mary Robinette, but like from, you know, 20 years ago, pre-social media, popularized internet. You kind of have to talk about yourself these days. You have to put yourself out there, whether you're published with an indie press or you're self-published or you're with one of the big ones. You still have to talk about yourself all the time. And so building a brand around yourself, I think, is probably really important these days. It's kind of impossible to just sit behind a keyboard and tap away anymore. You kind of have to put yourself out there, which is terrifying for somebody who, like me, who is by nature an introvert. So having to all of a sudden be an extrovert was a bit of an eye opener, and not something I really expected. And to the point where if like 16-year-old me could see me, poor kid would have a heart attack. this is not what I expected when I decided to be an author at all.
I'm kind of curious when you actually start, like, when should you start, like, kind of talking about why you're so special? Like, is this something that, you know, you talked about all the different things you could be doing, self-publishing, big five publishing, like, is this something you wait until your book is out? Is it something you do from the moment you're born, you come out of the womb? Like, when should you start telling your brand story?
Directly out of the womb, just the second you hit that air. I'm currently teaching a marketing course for authors for a company in Calgary, and those students are all at various stages in their career. A couple just got signed with an agent. One person is published. A few others just aren't even there yet. They're still working on their thing. But the point is, today, you kind of have to start that brand story and telling people about why you are so special before you're ever even there, before you've finished writing whatever you're writing, before you've even approached agents or publishers or decide to self-publish. You kind of have to do it so early now, because if you don't, then by the time you get to that point, you're way behind already. So now you have to start talking about who you are and what you do and why you do it. And all these students are asking, well, what do I share? I'm like, everything. It's human experience. Everybody's just craving everybody else's human experience now. Their story, what makes them different, what they do, what they write, what they're creating. It's, you know, really delving into the artistry of it all. But you've got to start. As soon as you decide this is a thing you want to do, you need to start right away.
And I do want to draw a line under the, as soon as you decide this is a thing you want to do, because while we're talking about building your career as a writer, there are a bunch of different ways a career mm-hmm. can take shape. So if you're hearing us talk about this and you're like, I don't want to do any of that, you can still build a career that will look, it just will look different than the career of someone who is choosing to engage in these ways. And that's, you know, that is as valid as any other choice you can make.
One of the things that's difficult to come to grips with if you're a, you know, full-on introvert is that there is no version of any of these careers where you're doing it alone. There is no version of that. At some point, you will have to interact with other people. Maybe you need help getting things, you know, into the market, you know, editor, agent, publisher, whatever. Maybe you have to interface directly with customers of your books, you know, buying things online. As I was fond of saying at Gen Con, charisma isn't a dump stat. you gotta put a couple of points into it. But circling back to the idea of, you know, why are you so special? One of the things that's super difficult for most people who write, you know, telling us, you know, give me the pitch for your story. That's hard. Okay. Even harder. Give me the pitch for you. Give me the elevator pitch for you. I hung out with some fellow web cartoonists for a decade and a half. And at one point we were talking about elevator pitches. And I said, yeah, when I go to the, you know, World Science Fiction Convention, I don't say I'm a web cartoonist. I say I write and illustrate science fiction. And one of the other guys says, oh, I hate you already. which means I knew it was working.
But that changes over time too, right? There's an evolution mm-hmm. process that goes. I mean, I used to call myself an author. As soon as I got the first publishing contract, I call myself an author. And then, you know, a few years later, I started speaking in schools, and then I started creating. And I mean, I said a lot at the top. I didn't even mention podcasting, the screenwriting that I do, the comic book writing that I now do. Like, there's all these other things. But how do you put that? Mm-hmm. People used to make fun of me that my signature line on my email was ridiculous. And for a while it was, until I finally had to sit down and decide, okay, what am I today? Like right now, this year, like what am I? And I always break it down as an author, speaker, creator. Simplest way to kind of encompass everything that I do at this point. So yeah, it is kind of, it's hard not to get put in a box. It's hard to stay in a box these days. As you mentioned, if there's going to be a whole bunch of side hustles you're doing, you kind of got to build that all into who you are as a person. And, you know, who you are might change based on where you are, what event you're at as well. Because, I mean, there's obviously going to be, you know, some places where you are a screenwriter, and some places that you are a comic book writer, and some places that you're an author of paranormal fiction, and some places where you're talking about marketing or business and communication theory. Like, it's all, like I said, it's a real collection of side hustles. That's a really good way to describe it.
I'm suddenly thinking of it as like four side hustles in a trench coat. And you just have to decide like which one gets to be the one on the top that's doing the speaking, but they all are required to propel you through life.
Yeah, this pleases me because also clearly all of the side hustles are weasels and just structurally unstable when standing on each other's shoulders. They don't have shoulders.
you know, I like that analogy too. This is a great podcast for analogies.
You know, like we're writers.
In the interest of trying to wrap your head around what do I say about myself? You know, we've said, tell them everything. But there are times when you just need to be short, and you just need to own the fact that you're only going to tell people one thing. Now, this is a terrible example because it's Neil Gaiman and it's 20 years ago. My buddy Jim met Neil at a party, and it was a loud party. And Jim said, hi, I'm Jim Zub. I work for Udon Comics doing, you know, whatever. And Neil said, hi, I'm Neil. I write. And I realized I would love to reach the point in my career where I'm confident enough in who I am that I can just say one thing. Hi, I'm Howard. I draw. Hi, I'm Howard. I tell jokes, but not right now. You know, that kind of thing where you develop the confidence to just give people a piece of the story. And if they're interested in you, then that's a hook and you've planted it and you can say more.
I wish it was that easy, though. I wish I could literally be at an event or a party and people ask me what I do. I said, oh, I'm an author, and leave it at that. But that's unfortunately not even accurate either. But people always want to build on that.
Follow-up questions. Yeah.
You write so fiction. Many. You know how to lie.
Oh, and I do. Constantly. the only reason that Mary Robinette and I met was because I somewhat just embellished some stuff in order to get myself into that Vegas conference those years ago. Minor embellishments, but it got me there. But an example from more recent, I hate going to parties. It's not my thing because introvert, it sucks the energy out of me. But my girlfriend is very, very social. And for a while, she was working for a marketing company, and we went to like an end of quarter party or something. And she always considered herself to be very boring, which she is not. But she always thinks I'm very excited. So when we go and meet people, she's like, oh, hi, this is blah, blah, blah. And this is Andrew. Andrew writes books and he does this and does this. And then she does like a Batman thing where she throws a smoke pellet and just disappears and leaves me with those people. And then I have to explain, and then I get a different set of questions depending on what they tagged on from what she told them about me. So, is it about film, or is it about writing, or is it about, whatever else I do? And so I have to tell them some kind of story. And then I'll go find her, and she'll be talking to me. I say, and this is my boyfriend, Andrew, and he does blah, blah, blah. And then, poosh, disappears again. And I just went from person to person at this one party. And after a while, I was like, I'm just switching up the story. I'll just tell them something different every single time. And then when they actually collectively maybe mention me in passing, nobody will have the same story. It'd be very confusing. But it kind of is that thing where it's a collective. There's so much stuff that you have to do now in order to actually have a functional career. And let's face it, that functional career comes down to money. And, actually being able to survive this way, which I've done happily for 3 years without a day job. And I've made more money than I've ever made before doing what I really love doing. But it's not like this was a simple, I'm going to do this now. It was a collection of, side hustles and decisions and opportunities that were taken and a bunch of opportunities that were taken that did not pan out that got me to this particular stage.
And speaking of smoke pellets and making money, we are going to pause for our thing of the week.
Poof.
Yes, I want to recommend two things. One thing is the new TV show Fallout that is on Prime, based on the popular video game series, which I have never, ever played. But the TV show is absolutely gorgeous and fantastic and beautifully written. The second thing I want to recommend is a novel called The Watchers by A.M. Shine, Irish novelist who writes horror. And I recently saw the movie trailer for this, the movie version of this book, and it looked really creepy. And so I read the book last week, and it's absolutely chilling and wonderful and fantastic. So if you like non-gory but really chilling horror, highly recommend.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
So as we continue this conversation, I want to give our listeners some tools that they can use. One of the things that I was thinking about was the ways in which we frame what we do. And when you were saying, I've slightly embellished, like one of the things that I did for years and actually still do frequently because it's just habit at this point is that when someone asks me when college comes up, I'll say, I was art education with a minor in theater and speech, which makes it sound like I have a degree. But I left after 3 years to go pursue a career in puppetry. And so a lot of times when you are talking about yourself, you can use many of your storytelling chops by choosing which piece of the story to tell to which beginning, you know, which frame you're using in order to create the impression you want to create without actively lying. Another tool that I have used frequently when I was early career as a puppeteer, and also when I was first trying to get people to hire me to teach things, is I would say, well, the way I've done this in the past, which makes it sound like there's a lot of past actions. And what I mean is, when I practiced this in my bedroom.
I also love that. I also think, kind of thinking about the story, Andrew, that you were telling about going to the party with the smoke pellets, is that a great way to learn about your brand is to spend time with someone who's enthusiastic about you as they introduce you to someone else.
Yeah.
Because you never, like you say, it's like, we all say a lot of things and you never know what sticks until you're with someone who's trying to say like, oh, this is Erin. She's, and then they'll say something, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but it gives you a sense of like, first of all, what of your story is landing? Because you can tell whatever story you're telling in your head, but just like with writing an actual story that maybe you're selling or publishing, it's really up to the audience to see like sort of what they're taking from it. But also I think it can be sometimes hard for us to think of ourselves as special, but the people around you see you as special. And sometimes hearing the way that they enthusiastically will talk about the things you're doing can be something that you can use to like fake it for yourself. You know what I mean? Because they're not going to remember your deficiencies. They're going to remember all your awesome stuff. Or if they only remember your deficiencies, maybe get different friends, hopefully.
it's all a bit of a, I don't want to say ego trip. Ego trip is the wrong way, but it is nice when you have supportive people around you who are excited for, you know, for what you do or what you are doing or are going to do. It does help. You're right. I think that plays a big part. I'm a different, much different person than I was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Today, I mean, I have a pretty overinflated sense of self-confidence in everything that I do, and it serves me really, really well. To the point where, I mean, I don't have to embellish anything anymore. I did 5 years ago when I was starting out. I had a couple books out and I just started speaking. I was at my first conference. Like, it was a very, very different world. I'm at like 16 conferences this year or something stupid like that. And I'm speaking to, you know, all kinds of different ages of students at schools, at elementary and middle and high school and colleges and universities. And it's totally different. Again, it's that evolution. You start at one place and you just build it up brick by brick. And it is part of its marketing, part of its personality. It's a lot of perseverance. And it's a lot of finding the angle, finding the side hustle, finding the thing that actually makes you money. I did freelance writing right out of, you know, quitting my day job because I was like, you know, I still got to pay bills. I have a mortgage and such. And while book royalties are, you know, okay, and my speaking is starting to pay, I still needed money. And to a point where this year I get to quit my freelancing. By the end of this year, I'll have no freelance clients because everything else that I do is way more fun, way more creative, and it's my stuff. I don't have to write for anybody else. And that's a great, great feeling and a great position to be in. But again, didn't happen overnight. So it's about building it up, I suppose.
Yeah. And that is a really important thing for people to understand is that when you see a writer who does not have a day job, that was a progression. Like every now and then you have someone who was able to just say, you know what, I'm going to quit and I'm going to be a writer. And they are the exception. Almost everybody else had to ease into it.
Yeah, it's true.
On the subject of tools, I think that it's really helpful to think about what kind of question or what kind of response your description of yourself is going to elicit. You know, if I say, you know, I'm a cartoonist, often what I get is, oh, are you in newspapers? And there are any number of directions I can take that. I realize I look old, but no, I'm not actually in newspapers. You know, I spin it as a joke. The write and illustrate science fiction, or just saying, you know, I'm an author. Often the response from people is, oh, have you written anything I've read?
Mm-hmm.
I love that one because I can turn around and say, well, it depends. I've only written about 20, 25 books. How many books have you read?
That's a little adversarial, but
you can see what the approach is. As you are thinking about your pitch, think about, well, what's that going to make people say? Are they going to say something that's then sticky and difficult for me to field? Or are they going to ask a leading question that's, you know, a softball lobbed across the plate? And you role play this in front of the mirror and try it out.
When I've done this in the past, exactly.
And it's like, you know, you talk in the mirror, I talk to my cat, you know, when I'm preparing to speak, like I'll, you know, deliver it. When I didn't have enthusiastic friends, I imagined how enthusiastic friends might describe me if I got any. And so I think a lot of these things, you know, it's true. I think a lot of these things can happen at any point. Like, you know what I mean? I think sometimes we can compare ourselves to the best version of ourselves we wish we were. The accomplished extrovert making your way through a conference, having the perfect line for everyone and like, you know, doing exactly what you need to do and say. And the truth is that like most people, maybe this sounds bad, like don't remember you that long after they meet you unless they need you for something or they fell in love with you at that moment. And so if you meet 10 people and say 10 different things to them and 9 of them you felt completely awkward about, most of those were forgotten. The person moved on to the rest of their life and you learned something. And then maybe that 10th one that really sticks is the one that you go, okay, let me try that again another time. And so I think it can feel so awkward while you're doing it. And from the outside, it looks much smoother than I think, at least I don't know about the rest of you, feel internally getting through all of it.
I will say that one of the more comforting things about where I am in my career is that the number of people that I have had come up to me and say, oh, we met and I was so awkward. And I'm like, I have no memory of any of this. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can just be a complete goober and no one will know.
But it's the content piece, right? I mean, it's the inundation with all the noise and everything else. I mean, I remembered Mary Robinette because I'd never seen anybody do a keynote with a puppet that made people cry. And literally made people cry. And so that stuck in my brain that was just before COVID occurred, really, the year before. And it stuck with me to the point where I had the chance to reach out to Mary Robinette again years later. Like, I jumped at the chance. Not everything sticks in your brain. You don't remember everybody you meet. You don't remember everything you meet. I mean, I was at a middle school in the Lower Mainland last week, and one kid was like, are you famous? I'm like, yes, in my own right. In that, I have sold tens of thousands of books for sure. And there are kids who email me all the time, but would I walk out onto any stage anywhere and be like, ah, that's Andrew Buckley? No chance. Absolutely not. Never. Because success doesn't necessarily equate with fame and vice versa either. Mm-hmm. Like it just doesn't work that way in today's day and age. We absorb the exact same amount of content in one single day that somebody living in the 1600s absorbed in their entire lifetime. We can't be expected for people to remember us or remember our work and see that this cacophony of noise that we've created for ourselves. Like, it's just the way that it is. So what you do, you try and carve out whatever your slice is. You take a certain amount of risk assessment and decide, this is what I'm going to do and this is what I'm not going to do, and decide which side hustles work for you and which don't work for you. And it's a little bit of trial and error.
Yeah.
The thing that I've discovered about writing excuses, just having done it for 16 years now, my goodness, is that famous. Yeah, I can buy my own groceries. Nobody knows who I am. But in a room full of writers, if I start talking, suddenly someone will come up to me and say, wait, you're Dan Wells, aren't you?
That's the challenge with radio. Felicia Day calls this being situationally famous.
Yep.
Like on an airplane, no one. Although I did just have the most amazing thing coming back from Japan. I am going to brag about this. Why am I so special? The custom agents asks you what you do. and while you were in Japan, and I actually talked myself up. I was like, I was guest of honor at a convention. And he's like, what was the subject matter of the convention? And I said, science fiction. And he said, he said, oh, are you an author? And I was like, I am. And he looks down at my passport and goes, oh, I really enjoyed calculating stars.
You win.
I was like, I am so jet lagged. I'm amazed. But that is the kind of encounter that I would not have had if I had talked myself down.
Yep.
That's true. And that's kind of like the selling ourselves part, right? I mean, people, you know, pre-2000 didn't have to, authors didn't have to sell themselves the same way. They could happily just write their books, but we live in a digital world where everybody knows each other.
Well, so, and this is the interesting thing is that it depends on who and where, because like Mark Twain, Charles Dickens, both made most of their living through the speaking circuit.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Jane Austen, on the other hand, wrote anonymously. Her career seems to be just fine. So, you know, there's a whole gamut to what you want to do. Dickens and Twain made a lot more money than Austen did, had very different lifestyles. So it does really depend on the kind of lifestyle you want as much as anything else. You know, if you want to be I know an author who has a disability and can't go do any of these things. I'm not going to talk about the details of it because that would probably direct people to who this person is, but they can't do any of this stuff. They've won Hugos. They've been fine, but they have other people that can help them with the telling of their story.
Right.
For the pieces that they can't do themselves. And they know the stories that they want to tell, and they know the kind of career they want to have. So I guess for me, as we are starting to wrap this up, you know, this is a thing for you to be thinking about, listeners, like, what career do you want to have? And if you want a career where you are situationally famous, you're going to need to get out and start being comfortable talking about yourself.
Start being situational.
And also, just like, I think being yourself, like there's, I'm not saying like put your home address on the internet. Do not do that. I remember going to a conference, a gaming conference with people that I've like interacted with online, like through all my game stuff that I do. And the thing that they remembered about me was that I said that I wander around my house singing Kitty Kitty Bum Bum to the tune of Bitty Bitty Bum Bum whenever I'm looking for my cat, which is true. But I decided to share this randomly on Twitter, and they remember that.
What does that sound like, Aaron?
Yeah, can you
kitty,
sing that?
Kitty Kitty Bum Bum, just like that.
I didn't hear it. Could you, just one more time?
One more time with isolation so
it's
we can
be
get
like,
a ringtone.
And then you gotta be like, Kitty Kitty Bum Bum. That's required. Dude.
One more time. Just, I didn't catch it quite.
I'm done with all of you. But honestly, of everything I say and said on today's podcast, how much do you think people will remember this instead of everything else I've said? Because it's completely legitimate to who I am as a human. And I think
I'm hoping
ultimately that's what people want. They want
human
connection.
I'm hoping that our engineer Alex remembers to send that isolated to me as a ringtone.
Yes. Oh my God. Can we please have that as a ringtone? That'd be so much fun.
And this is how Erin discovered her marketing brand. On that note, I think it's time for us to go to homework. Andrew, I think you have some homework for us.
I do. And it seems kind of generic now I'm thinking of it. But, you know, in terms of what we talked about, you know, building your own career, what I want to set as homework for your listeners is that, you know, try something that scares you. Everything that I have done over the last 3 years since I said goodbye to a steady paycheck was based on a certain amount of risk assessment and deciding, should I do this? Should I not do this? If I do this, what's the pros? If I do it, like, what are the cons? And really evaluating. And I did a lot of stuff that scared me to, you know, figure out what it was that I wanted to do and could do. So it is kind of broad, but I encourage you to try and do something that scares you. If that is public speaking, if that's, you know, putting a video of yourself on social media, if it's, you know, trying to write something that, you know, ordinarily you wouldn't write because you're kind of fearful of how, you know, your ability to do so. Just try something new and something that actively you're afraid of. See how it goes.
This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
Have you ever wanted to ask one of the Writing Excuses hosts for very specific, very you-focused help? There's an offering on the Writing Excuses Patreon that will let you do exactly that. The private instruction tier includes everything from the lower tiers, plus a quarterly one-on-one Zoom meeting with a host of your choice. You might choose, for example, to work with me on your humorous prose, engage Dong Wan's expertise on your world building, or study with Aaron to level up your game writing. Visit patreon.com/writingexcuses for more details.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. Your hosts for this episode of Writing Excuses were Aaron Roberts, Mary Robinette Kowal, and Howard Taylor, with special guest Andrew Buckley. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.